issues that come up in terms of Hilchos Avelos, how the interplay between Hilchos Avelos and Hilchos Tefillah, so we spend just a little bit of time talking about these, some of the Medinim, some of the Minhagim, in terms of particularly in Avel during the week of Shiva, and then during Shlosh, and then during Yiddish Chodesh, some of the Dinim that affect the Avel status and things that take place in terms of Hilchos Tefillah regarding an Avel. So there is an assumption in the postgame that different parts of Tefillah that are very Simcha oriented, so an Avel should not participate in. The reason being, the Gemara tells us that an Avel is basically also b'simcha. Yisur b'simcha lasts for, depending on how exactly you define simcha, but it lasts for regular kropim for 30 days. For an Avel is not allowed to go into a Pesach simcha for 30 days, and for an Avel for your Beis Chodesh, is not allowed to participate in a Beis HaSimcha, Beis HaMishka, for the entire Yud Beis Chodesh. But there are certain parts of Hilchos Tefillah that are simcha oriented, and some of them are considered to be inappropriate for an Avel during Shiva, some are considered to be inappropriate for an Avel during Shloshim, some are considered to be inappropriate for the Avel the entire year. So we'll try to speak out some of the parameters of these halachas. One of the tefillahs that we always associate with simcha is the recitation of Hallel. So it's assumed that an Avel during the week of Shiva should not be reciting Hallel. Now, you very rarely have an Avel during the week of Shiva in the context of Hallel, in the sense of, I mean, Hallel and Chodesh is a minute, we'll get to that in a moment. In terms of Hallel that are Me'ikra Din, usually the Yantav Hallel, so usually an Avel is not going to be observing Shiva on Yantav, unless you have that strange situation of Kova Mesa Baregel, where he's not quite in Shiva, but he's observing Dinam Shiva. But the most common application of the Shiloh is Hallel on Chanukah. Chanukah, we assume, is regular Avelos on. One opinion in the Rishon that says that there's no Avelos on Chanukah, but that's not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There's a Machloikis of Rishon about Avelos on Purim. That's a real Machloikis. That's a Machloikis out of Yamazeh. Minig in the Ashkenazi communities is not to observe at least public Avelos on Purim. But on Chanukah, we assume, and Shulchan Aruch is assumed, that there's regular Avelos on Chanukah. So a person is a regular Avel, and he's in the middle of Shiva. And on the other hand, he has a mitzvah to recite Hallel. There's a real mitzvah, it's a real mitzvah mit Rabbanon to recite Hallel Shalom each day of Chanukah. So what should the Avel do? So the poskim assume that the Avel does not recite Hallel. I never really understood this practice. It doesn't say this in the Gemara. It never says anywhere in the Gemara that an Avel is exempt from saying Hallel. I never understood it. Saying Hallel is mamash a real din. It's a mitzvah, real bona fide techanas achabim to recite Hallel on Chanukah. There's chasam sofer that it suggests that maybe the recitation of Hallel on Chanukah is even shava deraisa, because it's a celebration of a nes. So whatever the celebration of a nes falls into the category of Az Yosha Moshe. The same way the Torah records that Klal Yisrael celebrated a nes by singing a song, so too the Deridaris, we have to sing and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Nisa Bakar. So the Chasam Sofer, the Shah, that Hallel on Chanukah may even be deraisa. The Netziv disagreed. The Netziv said that Hallel on the first Chanukah, the Shas HaNes, was a deraisa. The fact that we commemorate Nisa for all subsequent generations, that's only midrabanan. So Zayin deraisa, Zayin derabanan, whatever it is, it's a real obligation. So where did this midrash that an Avel doesn't say Chanukah come into play? But that's what it is. That's the poskim that an Avel on Chanukah in the week of Shiva doesn't recite Hallel. Here, we only limit the Avel during Shiva. Nobody would say the Avel, whole Yud Beis Chodesh is Hallel. That's ridiculous. So this recitation of Hallel, that's something that's limited only to the week of Shiva. And even that, we're not quite sure we understand. But not only do we say that an Avel doesn't recite Hallel during Chanukah, the question becomes whether it's appropriate for us, the bystanders, the Menachemim, to recite Hallel in the presence of the Avel. So is it the right thing to do to recite Hallel in the base of Avel or not? So here also the poskim assume that not only is the Avel potter from Hallel, but we really shouldn't be saying Hallel in front of the Avel. So the question is, what do you do? So if you're not saying Hallel in front of the Avel, what do you do? So there are different opinions in the poskim. Some poskim will say that you have to leave. It's time to say Hallel on top of Chanukah. Everybody should walk out, go outside in the street, and go say Hallel, and then come back into the base Avel. That's usually not the most practiced opinion. So in other places, there was that they asked the Avel to leave. At the Avel, they don't send them outside. He's not supposed to be going outside. So they send them to another room. So at least it shouldn't be b'fnei ha'avel, the recitation of Hallel. And there are others who didn't like either of those practices. So the Rav didn't approve of the second practice. First practice is just not practical. But the second practice, the Rav thought was not correct, because the reason why you don't say Hallel in front of an Avel, it's not because you're standing in front of an Avel, but rather because it's called the Beis HaAvel. Rav is very big into this idea that there's a halachic status called the Beis HaAvel, a certain tzur of a Shiva home. Let's say the Mashal, we spoke about this when it comes to Kfiyas Amita. The Gemara says that in the days of the Gemara, they used to turn over the beds of the Avel. The Gemara says that not only do you turn over the beds of the Avel, you turn over the beds of all the people in the house as well. So why is that? So some Rishonim say because we're afraid the Avos is going to sleep on, how do you know which bed he's going to sleep on, maybe he'll switch beds that night. And others say no, because a base Avos has to have a certain tzuri. Walk on the base Avos, everything is different. That's where our minig is that when we cover the mirrors, which is a throwback to Kriya Samhita we spoke about many a few times, that's where the minig is. You don't just cover the mirror that the Avos is going to look in. You cover all the mirrors, even in another bedroom that Avos is not going to come to. The minig is that all the mirrors are covered. So there's a certain tzuri of a base Avos. That's why the Rav was opposed to the saying of Mishnayos in a base Avos. So many people have the practice that if you're Mechamayim, so the rabbi gets up and he starts learning Mishnayos, so the post can say the Avos shouldn't pay attention, because the Avos is also Matam Torah. So the rabbi said, it doesn't matter whether the Avos pays attention, that's still not right. It's Einom Shmur Beis Avos, you're not supposed to learn in the Beis Avos. That's what many Tamidim and the rabbi have the practice of learning Mishnayos Dafka from Sugis and Pirkei Avos, by cutting things that are relevant for Yom HaMisa, things that would be permissible for the Avos himself to participate in. So part of the same story that those who hold this a new entity called the Beis Avel, and it's just not appropriate to be saying these kinds of tefillos of Hallel, it wouldn't really help to send the Avel out. It still remains the status of a Beis Avel. That's why there are many who have the practice that they don't say Hallel, they skip the Hallel of the Beis Avel, and they tell everybody to say Hallel when they get home. So the Avel himself doesn't say it, and everybody else should try to remember to say Hallel when they get home. The question is whether this option is going to work on Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of Hanukkah. What about Hallel and Rosh Chodesh? So Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is a little bit tricky, because Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is not a real din. Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. The Gemara says in Tainis that it's a fairly new minhag. I mean, everything is relatively new, but in the sense of that the minhag was not a universal minhag, even in the days of Rav. Even in the days in the early Amoraim, it was not a universal minhag. It was observed in Bavel, it wasn't observed in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that when Rav arrived from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he saw people saying, he walked to the shul of Rosh Chodesh, and he saw them saying, hello, and he thought he missed something, he thought it was Hanukkah, he had no idea what was going on. So he was waiting around to see, someone's going to explain to him, what are they saying hello for? So then he saw they got the chatz, they started to skip some of the prophet of hello, so then he chat, and he realized it wasn't really a din. Not they held you have to say hello, they held it was only a minhag. It would be a real din, so then you have to say the full Hallel. Since they were skipping Hallel, skipping parts of the Hallel, that showed that it was only a minute anyway. So Rav said, all right, so it's not a minute, they do whatever they want. So he didn't stop them, he didn't interrupt them. Then Rishonim explained that in later generations, it became Mamash the minute, it became the universal minute. Everybody says Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but again, it's only a minute, and that's in fact why we only say the Chatzi Hallel. Now the question becomes, when you have a base Avel, so you're not going to send Hallel out. Practices, we're not going to send Hallel in the base Avel. And assuming we're not going to send the Avel out. So everyone goes home. So should everybody say Hallel to get home? So some say, yeah. The same way on Chanukah, everybody says Hallel to get home. So on Rosh Chodesh, everybody should say the Chatzi Hallel to get home. Another question that others say, that there's one opinion in the Rishonim that says that the only time you say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, even B'Torah's Minig, is only B'Tzibur. If you happen to be davening by yourself in the house, then there's no recitation of Hallel. We don't really follow that practice. The person davens b'chidus, we usually tell him we should say Hallel anyway, Rosh Chodesh. But there is such a view. And here also, one can argue that since it was time to say Hallel, so the minig is not to say Hallel on the base level, so they're parted from Hallel, so you don't have to say Hallel when you get home. Hallel and Chanukah is a din, so it's not an option not to say it. Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is only a minig anyway. Kach nagu. But if you happen to be davening in a shiva home on Rosh Chodesh, so you don't say Hallel, and you don't say Hallel when you get home either. So yesh v'yesh, there are different practices about this. I always try to, if I have to be menachem av by somebody, it happens to be Rosh Chodesh time, I'll try to maneuver that. I don't daven shacharis on Rosh Chodesh. It bothers me to go home and not say Hallel at all. To say Hallel with the brachas, the shalom bracha matalah, but not to say it at all. So if I can avoid it, I'll try to avoid it. But again, that's just my own personal, that's not a halachic statement, it's just a personal preference. There are other tefillahs that are less significant, so to speak, than Hallel, that are also associated with the Yonim of Simcha, and therefore also we shy away from saying those things in a base Avel. Pesachei Tshuva quotes that in an Avel on Motzei Shabbos, he's obligated to say Avdala. If he's an owner, he doesn't say Avdala. If he's an Avel, of course, he has to say Avdala. Somebody else has to say Avdala. So there's a minhag Yisrael that before we say Avdala, we say certain psukim, which are psukim shel Simcha, Hinei Kel Shuasi. So the Pesachei Tshuva writes that Hinei Kel Shuasi, those psukim are not appropriate for an Avel to say, not appropriate to be said in the base of. You can get up and you can scream like, who the mice are with Simcha? That's not right. So the minhag is to refrain from those psukim. It's not a din. The whole saying, this psukim is not a din. The minhag Yisrael is that we don't say those psukim in a base Avel. I remember when I was sitting Shiva, so it was Davin Meir for your Matzah Shabbos, and right after Meirav, so I was sitting Shiva right here, so I felt like I wanted at least those some people who were there for Meirav, who maybe wanted to be Menachem Lovel, so I ran upstairs, mamish, for 1 second. I didn't even have a chance to make it on. I ran upstairs literally just to take my shoes off and to put my career shirt on. I sat down here, and a couple of Balabashim were still around. So it started to be Menachem Lovel. I didn't have a chance to make Avdallah. By the time some of the people left, and some of the newcomers had already started to come, and then the next, unfortunately, those of Sid Shiva know, once you start, it's a never-ending saga. It was 11 o'clock at night, which I still hadn't said, Avdallah. And you say Abdullah means you hadn't taken a drink, you hadn't taken nothing. It was 11 o'clock, it was a late pre-summer, the end of May Shiva. So I remember I had 20 people around here, and I said, I'm asking everybody Mechila. I said, my family hasn't heard of Abdullah yet either, so it's actually not right. So I said, please, I asked somebody to just bring me a cup of grape juice and made a quick whatever it was. So I started with Bar Priyagofen. So people were trying to be my who the rabbi didn't see any character. There was a whole pimple. That's the rabbi's minig. I said, it's nothing to do with me. I said, it says in Pesachuvah that an oval when he makes Abdullah doesn't say he didn't care. So you have to be careful. People shouldn't extrapolate wrong practices from this. There's another tefillah that we also associate with Simcha. That's the tefillah of Kiddush Levana. We associate with Simcha to such an extent because it's considered to be Akpalos B'nei Hashchina. The Gemara says that Kaddish is a Chodesh B'zmana, Kiel Makh B'nei Hashchina, Hukuch Tzach Memram Umar, we stand up, make a whole to-do out of it. That's why one of the reasons why we get dressed up for Kiddush Levana. That's the reason why we say Kiddush Levana Motzei Shabbos. We have to say Motzei Shabbos, we say it on Tuesday night also. So the Pesach came right because it's supposed to say it when you're all dressed up. So usually people are most dressed up on Motzei Shabbos. So I'm not as careful about that. I say it usually with Shabbos, but if for whatever reason it was cloudy or something, that was Shabbos. So I usually won't wait till the next Motzei Shabbos. I'll just say it whenever I get a chance to. There's not that much of the way I dress throughout the week. I wear Shabbos suit, I wear Shabbos tie, but most people can't tell the difference. My kids can tell the difference. Sometimes my kids will ask me, why are you wearing a Shabbos tie? It's usually because I'm going to the chasana that day. So it's also considered to be derech simcha.
Is it better to wait for a minion, the
Pesach
of Motzei Shabbos, or to say,
let's say,
Sunday, Monday,
Beyachidus,
where we
always read it. Yes, so the Pesach say it depends. Depends how gutsy you are, depends what the weather forecast is. The Pesach can write that the idea of pushing off Kiddush Levana, a regular person pushes off Kiddush Levana, so it's always a tug between two considerations. On the one hand, you want to say it, Motzei Shabbos is a hider to say it. On the other hand, you want to do this reason by Kedim and Mitzvah. So the Pesach can discuss which of these two went out. A general question. In Kedim and Mitzvahs, I could do a mitzvah in a nice way now. I'm sorry, I could do a mitzvah in a nice way a little bit later, or I could do it now in not such a nice way. Let me forget it done now. So they start bringing riots back and forth from sugyas and yavamas. The Gemara has a sugya in the fourth paragraph of Yavamas that when it comes time to do Yibum, so the oldest brother is supposed to do the Yibum. So the Feshu Lefeh says that the oldest brother is supposed to be the one to do the Yibum. But the Yevon, any of the brothers can do it, but the oldest brother should do it. So the Mishnah says, what's the din if the oldest brother is in Medina Seyam? In China, he's not come back for another 6 months. So should we do the Yibum? Forgetting about the fact that it's going to hold the woman off from getting married. That's a different consideration the Gemara has. But just in terms of the pure mitzvah of Yibum itself, so the woman's not getting married. She's not interested in getting married so fast. So it's a question, should we wait for the brother to come for 6 months from now? That'll be the Lechatchila way of doing Yibum. Should we do it with the younger brother, who's also good, but the Yevon also would be acceptable Yibum? But it's not as mehudr, it's not such a nice yibum. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about shehu mitzvah lom shehina, that you don't push off doing mitzvahs, even to do it in a nicer form. So the Rishonim have a discussion, how far is this brother? He's in Medina, say, yeah, you get the impression the guy's mamish, out on a trip, who knows if and when he's ever going to come back. What if he's not that far? He's in the next town. So some Rishonim says, Jim Sadeshin writes, that you jump and do the mitzvah right away, even in a not such a nice way, that's if there's a real chance the mitzvah mamish may not have fulfilled at all. So it's just a question of waiting couple of days or something, he's going to come from 10 miles away, so then maybe you should. Maybe that's the reason why the Gemara uses the Lashon of Dina Sayyam. The problem is the Rambam uses the Lashon of Bi'ir Acheres, which takes some of the sting, some of the strength out of that argument. So it's not clear. That's a big discussion. In general, with our general practices, vis-a-vis Kiddush Shulchan is that if you can wait, and there's no real fear of losing out the mitzvah, then you should wait. If there's a fear of losing out the mitzvah, then we don't wait. What's considered to be the cutoff line? When do you say we're afraid you're going to lose the mitzvah? Then a tenth of a month. A tenth of the month is already too risky. So if let's say Matzei Shabbos is before the tenth of the month, so you can still risk it because you still have 4 or 5 days afterwards, just in case it's cloudy. So you'll have a couple of days of leeway. Okay, so then you risk it. But if the next opportunity to say it on Matzei Shabbos is going to be the 13th of the month, that's already too risky. The Posen says it's better to say it right away. L'chatchila, we try to say it with a minyan, or at least with a couple of people together. If for whatever reason, if all else fails, and you're really afraid and nervous, and then you can just say it by yourself. And many, many times I've said Kiddush Levana. So as you get a good, you know, if you get one of these months where, you know, the earliest Motzei Shabbos is the 9th or something, so we're waiting for Motzei Shabbos, so Shabbos comes and goes, it's cloudy, so the weather forecast is supposed to rain for the whole week. So then it's not kedai. Guy lives in England, guy lives in Scotland, so it rains every day, so you wait for, you get a clear night, you say it right away. The Nebi Yehuda has a tshuva that they were, it was cloudy the whole 2 weeks, first 2 weeks, so they didn't say Kiddush Levana, and Pog, the Levana comes out in the middle of Kriyas HaMegillah. It was Yud Dal Adar, somebody comes running into shul in the middle of Haman's, the Levana just came out. So the Yehuda writes the whole tshuva. I don't think he was asked at the time. I don't know what they did. And then afterwards they sent him the shayla. What do? Do you stop Kriyas HaMegillah to do Kiddush Levana? The whole tilpa with the Gemara in Brachas about the person's in the Kriyas HaMegillah and somebody comes to say hello to him. So the Levana just came to say hello. We have to literally say Shalom Aleichem. We've got to give Shalom Aleichem back to Levana. So he has the whole tilpa about what the din would be. So anyway, so getting back to the story of the Avelim. So an Avel is not really supposed to recite Kiddush Levana because it's a mitzvah that's associated with Simcha. That's the reason why we don't say Kiddush Levana left. Tisha B'Av, because until after Tisha B'Av, it's not the right time to say Kiddush Levana. There are different reasons why we don't say Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av and before Yom Kippur. A lot of people mix up these two minhagim. Many have the practice not to say Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur, not because it's not a happy time, but because, you know, the Kesli of Chagain or something, I don't know, we don't want some different svaras in terms of that. We don't want to publicize so much. That's Chodesh Tishrei. And others are opposed to that. Menachem Begro was opposed to that. Menachem Begro said, every mitzvah counts. The Rambam describes in the Cheshuvah, you're teetering on the balance, you're a bainani. All you need is one mitzvah to put you over the edge, and maybe that one mitzvah is Kiddush Levana. So you're going to miss the Kiddush Levana because you're waiting to dray around to say it. I'm going to say, Yom Kippur, you should say it as soon as you can. So there are different menachem about that. Really, most of our shuls, the practice is to say it on, Matzah Yom Kippur. But the reason why we don't say it until Matzah Tisha B'Av is for a different part of the Gamri. That's because it's not a sad, because we're in a very, very sad mood with Tilt Tisha B'Av. So it wouldn't be appropriate to say it. That's why the menachem switch that on Matzah Yom Kippur, so the many Yisrael is you say Kiddush Levana right after davening. You finish Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur, and then before you go home and eat, before Havdalah, you go outside and you say Kiddush Levana. Whereas when it comes to Matzah Tisha B'Av, so the minig is that you go home and eat first, and then you say Kiddush Levana afterwards. Why is there a reason for that? What's the reason for that difference? So it's also a throwback to the fact that Kiddush Levana is supposed to be said B'Simcha. So on Matzah Yom Kippur, we're in such great Simcha, we're so ecstatic on Matzah Yom Kippur, we just finished Ne'ilah, we're so excited. We're hungry? Well, not hungry. It's a big deal. We're so happy. Whereas Matzoi Tisha B'Av, so we had a miserable day. We felt terrible. And on top of that, we're hungry. So Matzoi Tisha B'Av, we're not in such a good mood. So on Matzoi Tisha B'Av, so the minute is you give yourself a little bit something to eat, so you should be able to say the Shira, be able to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu a little bit happier. So there are many people who, it depends on which kind of shul you're diving in. So some places, they send everybody home. The problem is, maybe people don't come back later. So some places, they give out a little bit of food right after Tisha B'Av. A couple of years ago, I was davening at the Kosel on the Tisha B'Av late in the afternoon. And I had the kids with me, and we wanted to get a little bit, we had to go somewhere right after Tisha B'Av, so we wanted to get a little bit of a jump start on Meirav, not to get caught in throngs at the Kosel right after Tisha B'Av. So we went up to the road, we went up to the Churva, to Davin Meirav. We figured we'd get one step closer to where we had to go to. So we Davin Meirav and the Churva, and Rav Kook was there at the time. And it was right after Tisha B'Av, we just finished Davin Meirav, and they started bringing out cookies for everybody to have a little bit of something. In order to be able to say Kiddush Levana, so kid you not, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't put this line online. So kid you not, they were handing out cookies and they were saying these are Mizrahi's cookies and the others were Shahakal cookies. know where they were Pesach. I don't know how. I don't want to comment on all the cookies or why they were Et Shehakol cookies, but they're Shehakol cookies. So the Rabbanim were being handed out the Mizrahim's cookies, and everyone else was being handed out the Shehakol cookies. I didn't have a beer, so I didn't qualify for a Mizrahim's cookies. So I think I got a Shehakol cookie. Okay, anyway, we'll decide whether this should be edited that long. Anyway, so getting back to our story, getting back to the Kiddush Levana story. So an Avil doesn't recite Kiddush Levana during Shiva for the same reason that he doesn't say Hinei Kosh Uasi, the same reason that he doesn't say Hallel, because these are tefillahs and brachas that are associated with Simcha. This, of course, only applies when Shiva, doesn't apply Yud Beis Chodesh. He does say Kiddush Levana Yud Beis Chodesh, but he doesn't say during the week of Shiva. But the post can point out that it's not a real din. It's a minig, and therefore, what if he's mamish going to lose it? Let's say he's sitting Shiva, it's the 12th of the month, and he's not going to get it from Shiva till after the 15th of the month. So then the Pesach says, then he should say. Then he should say Kiddush Levana, because it's not a real halacha. So the teleport is the mamish lose out Kiddush Levana, that's not appropriate. So I didn't understand this. This is part of my same dilemma when it comes to the halal. All these things that somehow the minig became not to say, all these yonim shal simcha, is this a din or is this a minig? When it comes to halal, we're so strong on this quote unquote minig that we're mevatel halal, which is a real mitzvah. And when it comes to Kiddush Levana, so no, post can say, don't mevatel Kiddush Levana. Don't, if you don't have to say it in Shiva, so wait the extra 2-3 days. But if you're going to lose it out, so then Kiddush Levana is a real mitzvah, a real din midirabanan. So it's doichad is minhagim. You have to say the yesh v'yesh are different dagas of simcha. Kiddush Levana is not so simcha. How is more simcha? It's hard to understand where these minhagim / halachas, where exactly you draw the line in this. But the Maaseh, that's what the practice is. Is that when it comes to halal, the avil doesn't say. When it comes to Kiddush Levana, the avil doesn't say it either, unless he's going to lose it.
Let's say Tisha B'Av, you still have an opinion of a fabulous because you still...
Right. Still wait until the next day. Yeah, that's already a much lighter minig. Yeah, that's not as serious a minig, and therefore the minig is to recite Kiddush Levana Davka afterwards. There's another difference also, that when you recite Kiddush Levana on Motzei Tishba, the post you should take off your sneakers, you should really put your shoes back on. When you say Kiddush Levana on Motzei Yom Kippur, so the minig is you say it, mamash, with your shoes, without your shoes on, you say it just with your sneakers on. So the truth is that insistence of putting on your shoes for Motzai Tisha B'Av, Kiddush Levana is probably a throwback to the days when the Mamash walked around during Shiva, during Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. The Mamash walked around with nothing, came out with shmatas on their feet. So that was considered to be really inappropriate. You're going to come in Kabbal for the Melech in your rags in your feet. Eilavo Shar Melech B'Vushak, as the quote from Gilas Esther. That's where that came from. So in Avelus of Tisha B'Av, the guy's Mamash walking by Avelus, walking barefoot. In such a state of Avelus, so it's not right, even though the Avelus is technically over, Tishma is over, it's not right to say Kiddush Levana that way. Yom Kippur, he's not the Avelus, Yom Kippur, he's Malchus, he's all wearing a white kittel, he's dressed in white, he's all Mechubadik, and he's nothing on his feet, like the Kohen also don't wear anything on his feet, it's a different kind of not wearing shoes. So that's probably where the split came from. So some say this man is there, that whole kapeda of switching into shoes, even from Motzei Tishma may not be necessary. Most people on Tisha B'Av are not walking around in shmatas, they're walking around in their Crocs, they're walking around in their sneakers, which the truth is, on a regular Tuesday night, they would also say Kiddush Levana that way. If for whatever reason, you know, they had to say Kiddush Levana at not on a Motzei Shabbos, they would also say it in their sneakers, they wouldn't go run to put on shoes. So the whole model of that minig may not even apply with Manazah. But again, in the Svarim, it says like this, that Mishnah Berurah quotes such a practice that a Motzei Yom Kippur, you could say Kiddush Levana with your sneakers on, and then Motzei Tisha B'Av, so you should really switch to your regular shoes. So getting back to the story, so we have a few of these different minhagim, which are related to chos tefillah b'simcha, that we shy away from an avol participating in. This one.
Isn't there also a problem with Kiddush Levana as far as saying
Shalom? Yeah, so I was just going to say, I forgot to mention that. That the post can point out that if and when an avol is really saying, let's say an avol during Shiva is really saying Kiddush Levana, so we shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem, because the avol is not supposed to with Shalom Aleichem. So I never understood that, because if that's true, then an avol during the entire Yud Beis Chodesh is not really supposed to, he's allowed to wish Shalom Aleichem to other people, other people are not supposed to wish Shalom Aleichem to him. So if putting those two pieces of information together, it should come out that after Shiva, so the avol should be able to say Shalom Aleichem to other people, but nobody should respond Shalom Aleichem back to the avol. I don't think that's the meaning. I think people do wish Shalom Aleichem to the avol. So I don't know. I'm not sure how to understand that, but I don't think anybody's really follows that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, anyway, getting back to the inyanim, different quasi inyanim shel simcha. There is another bracha, another mitzvah that we have that's also associated with simcha. That's the mitzvah of birchas kohanim, sis kapayim. So how does that play out in terms of an oval? Is it appropriate for an oval? Oval's supposed to give birchas kohanim. The simcha, is it appropriate for an oval to be reciting duchening or not? So that's a machlekes. A rishon machlekes is different minhagim. What's the practice that an oval during shiva doesn't duchen? And there are more quotes of practice that over the entire Yud Beis Chodesh doesn't dochen. Any kohanim? I don't know. Okay, so have you ever seen, is it really true people follow that? The Avel and Mamish don't dochen the whole year? Is that true? I don't remember ever like making a mental note of that. That's what it says in the Ramah, that's what it says in the Svam. I don't ever remember, I'm not a coin, so I don't pay such close attention to where the people practice.
Came over to me and said,
nobody said that. I don't know. So when you were in Avel, if you're in Avel, you don't know. I think that's in America, I think people do. I never consciously looked one way or the other. But there are more rights to the customers. It's not a din, it's a minig nata, since the duchening has to be the simcha. This idea that there are more so strong for the idea of simcha for nesias kapayim, this is the source for another minig of the Ramah, where the Ramah quotes the famous minig that we have in Chutz Laaretz, that we don't duchen all year long. We know the mitzvah min haTorah is you have to duchen every day. The only reason why it's not considered to be a bitul mitzvah for us is because the Gemara says that the mitzvah only applies if the Kohen is called upon to duchen. So when we call out Kohanim, so that's an announcement to the Kohanim to go duchen, so then they become a chuyuch to duchen. It says Amor Lahem, so the Gemara says, Eino chayev atshiachers, that the mitzvah deraisa of Birchas Kohanim only kicks in if and when somebody actually announces and tells them to go ahead and duchen. So what we do in America, what they've been doing in Ashkenazi communities for hundreds of thousands of years, is that we avoid the achraza. So we don't announce Kohanim on a regular Tuesday morning because we dafka don't want the Kohanim to become chayef to duchen. So therefore, technically speaking, they're not obligated to do so. On Yontif, where I'm going to get the duchen, so they just scream out the Kohanim. Where did this minute come from? The days of Chumash, the days of Mishnayis, the days of Beis Hamikdash, all the Sfar, the Mani Yemazen, Eretz Yisrael, everybody, most places in Eretz Yisrael, duchen every day. There's a minig in the Galil that they only duchen on Shabbos. It's a different minig. But in regular parts of Eretz Yisrael, so they duchen every day, like you're probably supposed to. So where did that minig, Ashkenazi communities and Chutz Laaretz, come from? Not the defense of the Ramah, right? And he thinks that the defense for this practice is that it says in the Sfarim that a Kohen is supposed to duchen the Mitoch Simcha, supposed to be in a good mood, and he's supposed to give a bracha, like, you know, with a smile. So the Kohanim and Chutz Laaretz, they're very worried about their parnasa. Like the Levim and Israel, we're also worried about the parnasa. Everyone's so daigus a parnasa, no one can concentrate on giving a bracha b'simcha. Even on Shabbos, never. Even though it's supposed to be v'sisikam lachtecha, but everyone's still tumbled up on the panasa. The only times of the year that people are a little bit more relaxed is Yantif time, because they haven't gotten the credit card bill yet for post-Yantif expenses. That's why they're relaxed. So on Yantif, everyone's in a good mood, everyone's happy, it's the simcha. So then the minig became that the Gwaram dafka duchin then. That's the Ramah's defense of the practice. There are others who have other defenses of the practice. So Sternbach writes that he thinks the reason why we don't duchen is because duchening has to be b'socha tfila. Minatari, you don't have to duchen in the middle of tfila. Minatari, a coin can get up and just give a bracha and join. But with the Rabbanan, they're misaken, that has to be b'socha tfila. Why is that? Because in the base of Mikdash, the duchening was done as part of the Avodah Sakabonis. It says in Vayyared Aaron Moshe Lam, Vayyaparachim, Vayyared Miasa Zachatas, Vayola, etc. It says in Bash Shvidi that Aaron gave Birchas Kohanim in the context of the Karbanos. So they used to duchen in the middle of offering the Karbanos. So Midir Rabbanon, when they instituted that Tfilos could get Karbanos Tiknum, so they instituted that Birchas Kohanim should take place outside the base of Birchas Kohanim outside the base because it's also Deraisa, but Chazal instituted it should be Dafka Derech HaTfilah. So what do you mean Derech HaTfilah? So it has to be in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So which Shemoneh Esrei is it in the middle of? It's the middle of Chazor Sashatz. So Sternbach writes, that's assuming that the Chazor Sashatz has the status of a Chazor Sashatz. If a Chazor Sashatz is not a Chazor Sashatz, so then there's no mitzvah to duchen. Why should we question the validity of a Chazor Sashatz? So the post came right, it's only called a Chazor Sashatz. There are 10 people who are actually listening and answering Amen. If the Chazan's davening and everyone's sitting back talking, so he says, it's Nishkei Chazor Sashatz. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, that if a chazan is davening in such a shul, and he looks around, he sees nobody's answering Omer into his tefillahs, so when he gets up to daven chazan sashat, he should have in mind that just in case not enough people are answering Omer, it's a tefillahs nedava. Because it's a voluntary tefillah, otherwise it's a bracha matala. So remember, when the year when I was in Avelis, I used to always have in mind, before I was in sashat, I didn't know who the big crowd was, unless I knew no particular crowd. So every time I was davening in a place I didn't know, I'd look around and see, I can't say for sure if people are actually answering Omer. So I always have in mind, just in case. If not Chazal Sashat, at least that's Filas Tadava. So Shtomrich writes that since people in Chutz, everyone's running out the door, everyone's in such a rush, so nobody's paying attention to Tefillah, so maybe it's not even Chazal Sashat. So it's not Chazal Sashat, and you have no right to Duchen. That's his defense of the practice. We don't like that defense so much, but that's his quote unquote defense of the practice. So whatever it is, that's the meaning in the Ashkenazi communities, that you don't Duchen. Except on Yom Tov, people are in happy mood, people are more Yerusha, people are answering Amen. So it takes on more of a status of a Tefillah. Of Chazal Sashat, more of a status of a Bracha Shasimcha. So the minig is that the Ovel doesn't Duchen, but again, different minhagim, how far that goes, during Shiva, during Yud Beis Chodesh, etc. As a spillover from that minig, it becomes a question whether it's appropriate to say Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu in the Shemoneh Esrei, the Chazal Sashat, in the Beis Ovel. Usually, we say.
What do we say in Chutzlaretz once, only during Musaf and Eretz Yisrael twice?
Look, the real din is you're supposed to duchen. Whenever you duchen, you're supposed to duchen shachmas. Look, the real din is whenever you duchen, the Mishnah says you duchen shachmas and musaf. But since we so cut down the duchening so much, so we one time minat Torah one time a day is for sure good enough. But the rabban is supposed to duchen in each tefillah. But since we're anyway not duchening 99% of the time, so we only do it in one tefillah.
The Sfarim that do it, more often.
They do it every day, yeah.
Right.
Sfarim,
what happens?
Because either they're not so worried about their parnasa, or they answer the Chazal Sashat. Even Shabbos Chol HaMoed, the meaning is we don't look at. There was once a mice that happened in one of the shuls in Riverdale, that it was a 3-day yantif, so the rabbi, it was a big shul, so the rabbi would announce after Kela Kadosh, Chazal Sashat, so he would announce, Kohanim, please get ready to go duchen, and Yehudim, get ready to wash their hands. So he announced that on Thursday, like he's supposed to, and then he announced that on Friday. Then by mistake, he announced it on Shabbos, because it wasn't me. Because he heard it's the same Nusach. He heard that niggin, and that was his announcement. He got up and he announced, Kohanim, get ready to go duchen. So everyone's like, Rabbi, it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Oops, I forgot. So if I would have been in that shul, I would have told the Kohanim they have to go duchen now, because they're mechuyim in a Torah to duchen, because they just had a hachraza. The only reason why you're potter from duchening is it's not going to be a bittul mitzvah, because nobody told them to duchen. So kol zman, they weren't asked to duchen, so not mechuyim to duchen in a Torah. Now, the mamash mechuyim b'daraisa to duchen. So that minig of the Ramah, that people are that I guess, are parnasa, all different reasons, those are very nice reasons, but they have no bearing on the mitzvah d'araisa. The only reason why those reasons are justified is because you're not mechuyim in a Torah anyway, because there was no hachraza. Once there was hachraza, then you have to duchen. I wasn't there at the time, and if I would have been there, they probably wouldn't have asked me anyway, so they did whatever they did. That was a famous mice that happened 30 years ago, someone in the shul. Anyway, getting back to our story in terms of the duchening. So because we don't like the idea of an oval duchening, to whatever extent that meaning is, so the post can raise the question, what about the saying of Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu? So usually we associate that tefillah in place of where you should be duchening, and for whatever reason you're not, then you say Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu. In Eretz Yisrael, you very rarely hear those words unless there's no kohen. If you daven in a minyan, there's no kohen, so you hear every once in a while, you hear the Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu. But in Chutzlaretz, we hear it every day. That's why there are certain days when we say it at mincha also. Normally you don't duchen at mincha, because mincha is people are already eating and drinking all day. You're afraid the kohen maybe drank some wine, he's not allowed to duchen. But on a tainis, there's a whole sugi about maybe you should duchen at mincha. So that's a whole complicated sugi about duchening at mincha on a tainis. But we do say Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu. That's why we say it by Ne'ilah also, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's Hakadu Duchen by Ne'ilah, except for the fact that you have to Shkia. That's a really whole, another complicated parsha. But whenever the rule basically is, whenever you should be Duchening, and for whatever reason you're not, then you say Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu. So is it appropriate in Chutz Laretz to say Elokeinu Mekel Vaseinu in a base Ovel? So some poskim say no, shouldn't, because you wouldn't be Duchening now anyway, because it's an Ovel, since it's a base Ovel, and Duchening is just, it's off the chart. It's like Mincha. Same way we don't say it at a regular mincha, so you shouldn't say it at a shachmas on a base level. And others say, so what? So the other wouldn't be duchening, but lo yitzuya in Eretz Yisrael, so many have, there are different customs in Eretz Yisrael, many have the practice in Eretz Yisrael that they do duchen in the base level, just the Ovel himself doesn't duchen, so if he's a kohen, he walks out of something. But the duchening itself could take place potentially in the base oval. So that's the case, then it would be appropriate to say Elokeinu Kevah Seiros. That's the reason for the two minhagim. Do we say that since duchening is off limits in the base oval, so therefore Elokeinu Kevah Seiros is not recited? I'm going to say no, duchening is not off limits in the base oval. It's limited. Maybe the oval himself doesn't say it, but others perhaps would say it, so then Elokeinu Kevah Seiros is appropriate. So yesh v'yesh. I think that the meaning of most of our places, what's the meaning of an issue when they say it? That they do say Elokeinu Kevah Seiros in the base oval. Yeah. I think that most places don't. I think that's one of the things I think Meshuren does do, but I think that many places don't. And again, I don't remember Machri and Rag Yisroel, but that sounds like the more correct minute to say it, because there's no real Isser for anybody else to say in Beis Avel anyway.
I think when I started Sweet Shiva in Eretz Yisroel last year, so they did do it.
Right.
They told me not to say it, so somebody else called out.
That's right. So Minig in Yerushalayim is that many places have that Minig that they do duchen in the base level, which would lead credibility to the Minig of saying Elokeinu Kevah Seiros, and then the chutzlos, because the two probably go hand in hand. Right. So those two minhagim are probably totally zebizet. So I guess Bnei Shurin follows the Minig Yerushalayim. I guess that's the upshot of the story. Okay. Hopefully, next week we'll try to continue some other issues.